Behold, the camels are coming, is our subject. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my house. Shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning we're gathered here to study thy word. We're gathered here, Lord, to have thee speak to us. We're gathered here to praise thee. And we're gathered here, Lord, in anticipation. Thou dost know our needs. And so we ask thee, meet the needs of everyone in this room at this hour. And Lord, exalt thyself in all that's said and done. And we pray, give listening ears and attentive minds and open hearts. And then send forth thy word in great might and power. Lord, thou dost know the situation of every individual in this room. So we commit this service and this people in thy hand and wait upon thee for a blessing. The glory is thine, and Lord, if there's any shame, it's ours. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Our subject today, behold, the camels are coming. I want you to look at two things with me for a few moments this morning. And we find this is what they are. First of all, we're going to look at the servant once again and see in him a picture of the believer at this hour. Then secondly, we're going to look again at Rebekah's experience and we'll see again how it portrays the redemption of a sinner. Now, you never get tired of this chapter, and I'll tell you right now, we're going to be in it for at least a couple more weeks. Because as we go into it, we're going to look at the journey of Rebekah as she takes it on the way to meet Isaac, her bridegroom, and then we'll also see how it pictures our travel as we meet our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, for a few moments, we want to look at the servant of Abraham, and we'll see in him the picture of every believer in this room. Now if you're a believer here, you're a servant of God. The servant of Abraham was a trusted servant. If you're a believer here today, you're a trusted servant of God. And you better understand that. And if you're a believer here today, we're not just going to sit down and wait for the rapture to come and then do nothing while we're here on this earth. Every one of us have a mission that we have to perform. Now notice carefully, if you will, in Genesis chapter 24 and verses 1 through 10, I won't read it because of the brevity of time, but we find that Abraham singled out this servant and sent him on a mission. What word singled you out and saved you? He sent you on a mission. Now what in the world is that mission? All right, take your Bibles now and turn back to Acts chapter 1. We'll show you what that mission is. In Acts chapter 1, You have the mission of every single believer. Now keep your finger on Acts chapter 1, because we'll be coming back to it occasionally. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I want you to notice what it says. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now what do you have here? Here's our mission. The mission of every believer is to be a witness. Now I hope you never get away from that. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? All right, some of you might be in a hospital before the day's out. We don't know. If you are, when you go there, all right, go there for a twofold purpose. Number one, you go there to get better. But number two, you also go there to recognize this, that God has put you there because there's somebody in that room that you're going to witness to. Now, you're not necessarily going to win them to Christ, but you're going to witness to them. And this is a mission that we all have. We are to be witnesses unto the Lord God of heaven, both in Jerusalem, which is your local area, and in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we find it also includes all Judea. Now we are gathered about our witnessing is going around the earth. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This message of this church is going around the earth. We are on shortwave twice every week. Once on Saturday night, once on Sunday afternoon. And the message is going around the world. We have heard from Sweden. We have heard from a family in France. We have also heard from England. We are hearing from people in California that are listening to the message on shortwave, and we just don't know where else it's reaching. But listen, we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. Now where you live is your Jerusalem. You witness to your loved ones and you witness to your neighbor. That's your Jerusalem. Then the state of Michigan, if I may use that term, is our Judea. And then also in Samaria. And we go across the country and out into Canada. And so, this is our job. We are sent on a mission by the Lord God of heaven. Now, turn again to Acts chapter 11, if you will, and let me show you. We find again, Acts chapter 11, and look with me at verses 19 through 26. And this is the way it ought to be. Now, this is our mission, and this is the mission of every believer. You're not here just to occupy space. You're not here just to take up time. You're here to be a witness for the Lord God of heaven, because we are sent on a mission to find the elect of God. Now keep that in mind. You don't know who they are. If we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find out that the elect of God will come. You don't know who they are, no more than I do. The servant did not know that Rebecca was the elect of God until it was revealed. I'll save that for next week. But we find also, you and I don't know who the elect of God are. So when we come in contact with people, we need to do like this took place in Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. Now notice. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now notice. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks or Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now what do you have here? Wherever they went, they witnessed. Now you and I can do the same thing. I don't know whether you use any tracts or not. I hope you do. My brother-in-law that I buried this past week, and I say I literally buried him because I took him to the body. I went with the body right to the grave, and I saw him put the thing down in the grave, and all that was left before we left was the pouring upon it of the dirt. So he was put in the grave. And I was there. I was the only one there. The family wasn't there because the committal service took place at the funeral home. They're doing that more and more in these days as they come. And then the pastor goes with the body to the funeral home, or funeral home to the grave, to make sure that it's put down. Now why? Because they've been stealing that. Now whether you realize, people are not above robbing the bodies of the dead people. They're not above it at all. Last night on the radio or on the TV, we heard very clearly about two people, two young punks is what they were, and what they do, they just deliberately killed this man that was in a wheelchair. Now think of it. That's the kind of age we're living in. Instead of helping somebody, they robbed him and deliberately killed him, and they just didn't get very much out of it, but thank the Lord they got caught And now all that needs to be done is they need to be hung by the neck until they're dead. Now that's right. And if we ever get a petition to sign for capital punishment, I hope everybody here will sign it without hesitation, whatever. Because capital punishment is taught by the Lord God of heaven. Now in our lesson today, we find that we are sent on a mission. Now notice, they preached the word to the Jews and then they preached them to the Gentiles and the Lord blessed. Now why do we tell you this? Well, when God sends us on a mission, I want you to know something else. He sovereignly guides us to the proper people. Now what in the world are you talking about? Well, go back to Genesis 24, if you will, and look with me and see how the servant was guided to Rebekah. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 14, this is his prayer. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now notice what happened. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Did God sovereignly direct him to the right person? He did. Now, as we witness, put it down, God will do the same thing. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, this letter we had here this morning. Remember the first time he wrote me, I read you the letter. The first time this young man wrote me, he said these words. He said, this is the first time and the only time I'll ever write a preacher. Remember him saying that? He also said this. He said, I heard the broadcast, and he said, something in that broadcast touched me where it had never touched me before. All right, when we witness for the Lord God of heaven, we ask the Lord to guide us to the direct person. But the servant was directed by the Lord God of heaven to Rebekah, and we are to be directed by the Lord God of heaven to the lost. Now notice carefully. The servant did something that we also have to do. What did he do? First of all, before he did any witnessing, you know what he did? He prayed. He said, Lord, he said, would you not guide me? I being in the way, he said, would you not guide me? And would you not let the individual to whom I'm going to ask, let your pitcher down that I may drink water, would you not let that person be the one whom thou hast appointed to be the bride of my master's son? Now, beloved, that's really a prayer. And that tells us also, and you better understand it, each one of us are to seek the Lord's guidance. And when you pray, pray specifically. Now don't be afraid to do that. Pray specifically. When you go to work tomorrow, there may be somebody that you'll never come in contact with before. You may come in contact with tomorrow. Just ask the Lord before you go out in the morning. Just say, Lord, would you let me be directed to the person that you have chosen out to be brought unto a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me talk to him. That's all you have to do. Now, I didn't put any pressure on Keith Goff. And that's the way it works. We prayed for him. You prayed for him. I witnessed to him. I was able to go down and talk to him personally. I had prayer with him down there. He was a very pitiful case. And now the Lord has reached down and saved this young man. And all the glory belongs to the Lord God of heaven. And you know what it is? It's a clear-cut case of the same thing that happened in Genesis 24. All right, there's the third thing. As we witness, what do we talk about? We find in Genesis chapter 24, beginning with verse 33, this is what the servant did. He began to talk and he set forth the riches of his master. In Genesis 24, verse 33, we read, and there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. All right. Now, what do you have here? Setting forth the riches of his master. Oh, beloved, we're living in a day in which people are hurting. You're going to run into some folks tomorrow, probably, or all through the week. They're hurting. All right, what can you tell them? You can tell them this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the balm of Gilead. Are you hurting? God is the Son of God is the ointment for your hurt. Set forth the riches of the Lord Jesus. And just don't be afraid to share Him. That's what the servant did. Notice what he talked about. He said, the Lord hath blessed my master, and he's given him a son, and God has given my master silver and gold and everything else. All right, I'm going to tell you right now. The riches that God offers to a sinner today are, first of all, secondly, there's a pardon. A pardon from the sovereign God. Thirdly, there's the adoption into His family. Fourth, there's the justification. And then fifth and last of all, if I may stop right here, you have the glorification. In other words, we have a living hope. Like I told my Sunday school class, I'll share it with you. I went to my brother-in-law's funeral last Monday, and I preached it. There wasn't any crying at that funeral. Isn't that unusual? There wasn't any crying. Even when they left to go out. You see, the casket had been closed, and it was sitting there, and when they left, the family left before they moved the casket. There was no crying. If there were any tears, I'll tell you what, there were tears of joy. And the vast majority of the people said this. This was a service of praise instead of a service of mourning, and that's the way it ought to be. Well, now why? When we know where we're going, and a loved one has gone before, we have a hope that we'll see him again. We know that the individual is in the presence of the Lord, and they're rejoicing in his presence. And I'm going to tell you right now, it fills us with an anticipation, because we hope to be with them before long when our Lord comes after them. There's no need for a great deal of mourning. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have that hope. You've got to know Christ. But as we set forth in our witnessing, we set forth the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Son of God and all things belong to Him. Secondly, our next, I should say, the fourth thing we have is this. Was the servant successful in his efforts? All right, look at what happened. Genesis 24, look at verse 57. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now what do you have here? Rebekah's heart was won, wasn't it? Now what did the servant do? He didn't put any high pressure on her. I'll tell you what he did. He did what we do. We set forth the truth of God as it is, to men and women and boys and girls as they are. And I'll tell you right now, we leave the results in God's hand, and God will bring them unto Himself. Now that's our mission. Then last of all, we want to say to you very kindly that someday every one of us are going to give an account of our labor. This again is brought out in this chapter. Genesis chapter 24, look with me if you will, verse 66 and 7. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. That's why we had you read this morning 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, every believer is going to give an account unto the Lord God of heaven for what you've done, why you've been here on this earth. The Lord has left you here to carry out His mission. And what is it? It's to find those out there that need the Lord Jesus. And it's to witness to them. It's to set forth the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you this. As we do that, we will be successful in our efforts, no matter how long it takes. You agree? That's right. That's the way it is. And the reason, someday, we'll give an account before the Lord God of heaven. Now, as I've said before, and while I was over there in Grand Rapids Monday afternoon, a man was talking with me, and he said, well, how big a church you have? Oh, I said, we might have 200. Well, he said, that's a pretty good number. I said, yeah, that's all right, but I'd like to have a lot more. And he said, well, you're kind of preaching. You won't have that many more. I said, no, that's true. I said, we preach more out, probably preach more out than we do in. But at the same time, we have to give an account, because we recognize very clearly one day we will give an account unto the Lord God of heaven of our labor. Now, do you think it was easy? Let me tell you something. All my relatives were there. They were all there. Now, you think of it. And a lot of them are skeptical as they can be. Now, ordinarily, you'd say, well, you'd kind of quake a little bit in front of them. No, the Lord gave strength. And you tell the truth as it is, no matter who they are, and no matter how they take it. And some were glad and some were mad. And that's the result. But we leave it in God's hand. The same thing is true with our witnessing down here on this earth. Some are going to be mad. Don't be surprised when they are. Just don't let them trap you in an argument. Because always remember, if you argue with a fool for 5 minutes, he's arguing with one. You understand me? And keep that in mind. And some will be mad, but I'll tell you this, some also, later on, will be glad. And after all, we leave it in God's hands. That's what the servant did. And that's how we are to leave it as we seek to do the Lord's work. And always remember, this is your mission. Now it's my job to fill this pulpit. It's your job to fill the pew. And that's why I want to say to you very kindly, keep up that visitation. Keep making those contacts. Keep calling on the phone. Invite people to come. And if they're not able to come, if you have an opportunity, go out and talk to them personally, but lay before them what Christ Jesus means unto you and tell them of the riches you have in Him, and then leave the results in God's hand. Now that's the first lesson. Now there's the second one. So go back to Genesis 24 again, if you will, and let's look at the experience of Rebekah. And in the experience of Rebekah, you will see the experience of true redemption. Now I say true redemption, because the experience that Rebekah had is exactly what takes place when God sets out and saves a sinner. And this is what happened to you if the Lord God of heaven has reached down and saved you. Now notice carefully. We find this is Rebekah's condition in Genesis chapter 24. Look with me, if you will, at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now what do you have here? Alright, Rebekah's experience portrays the experience that is set forth in redemption. The first thing about Rebekah was this. She was separate from God's promises and ignorant of her condition. Now preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Rebekah did not know anything about the Lord God of heaven. I dare say there's some of you here that you don't know anything about Him either. You may have heard about Jesus Christ, but I've had people ask me, I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And they said, well, who is He? Is He some rock player? That's not surprising in this day and age. The teenagers of this country are much more familiar with the rock singers than they are with the things of the Lord God of heaven, and that's not surprising. The reason? People today without the Lord Jesus Christ are like Rebekah. Rebekah was sitting and living in the city of, in the area of Mesopotamia, in the city of Nahor, and she was separate from God's promises, and she was ignorant of her condition. Now, I'm going to tell you something here this morning again. Some of you have heard it, but it still hasn't registered. You're still ignorant of your condition. But if you're here in this room without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a hell-bent and hell-bound sinner. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? You're hell-bent. You're traveling the road to hell. You're hell-bound. You can't get out of that route that you're in unless the Lord God of heaven have mercy upon you. And I dare say this, the vast majority of you here today are right now ignorant of it. Rebekah was ignorant of it. She did not know her condition. The sinner today does not know his condition, because the devil has blinded the minds of every sinner. And if the gospel that we preach from this pulpit is not understood by you, it's a fulfillment of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now this was Rebekah. The second thing about Rebekah was this. And here's how God worked. She was sovereignly guided by the Lord God of heaven into contact with God's man. Now, where in the world do you find that? Genesis chapter 24. Look with me again, verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Alright, now look what happened. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also." Now, what in the world do you have here? Did you notice what happened? God answered the prayer of that servant immediately. But now notice, the hand of God was on Rebekah. She didn't know it. God had appointed her to meet this servant. And how did it come about? It just came about by her going on her daily duty. It was her job to bring the water to her home. And she would go down there and fill the pitcher of water out of the well and bring it home. And that was her occupation. And yet we find she was an ignorant sinner. She didn't know anything about God. But now notice, she was sovereignly guided into contact with the man of God. Now that brings us an important thing. Here's why you have to be ready on your mission. When you go to work tomorrow and you say, "Lord, lead me to somebody that, as far as I know, will be the one that you want to be saved," all right, God may lead you to an individual, you don't know who it is. But that individual will be led by God, you're going to be led by God, and in God's economy, He's going to bring the two together. And you see how important it is for you to be on a mission? And that's the way God works. Now people come along and say, "Well, God don't need you." No, He doesn't, but God has ordained that He'd use us. And therefore the responsibility lies upon us. And in Rebekah's experience, and this is true with the servant, whenever God saves a sinner, I should say, we find Rebekah was brought in contact with God's man. And I'll tell you this, when God sets out to save a sinner, He's going to bring that individual in contact with God's man, no matter who it may be. And some of you here today are being brought in contact because God has sovereignly guided you to this Baptist church where you'll hear this truth, and some of you travel long distances to come. And I'm going to tell you this, God's purpose is going to be fulfilled. Now that's the way it works. Then thirdly, we find this. Rebekah was strangely affected by the message which was given. I go back again to, well, all of you here, any of you that were saved under this ministry, I'm going to tell you right now, there came a time in your life where you were strangely affected by the message that was given. Probably the first thing you did was this, "Well, who does that guy think he is?" Secondly, you probably said this, "Well, how do I know he's right? He's different than anybody else I've ever heard." Then thirdly, what happened to this? "Well, you know, I can't find anything wrong with what he's preaching. He's got to be preaching the truth." Well, now, how come that all comes about? Because you were strangely affected in your heart by God the Holy Spirit as the message went home. And that's exactly what happened with Rebekah. You say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" In Genesis chapter 24, go back, if you will, to verse 48, and notice what it says. "And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." Now what do you have here? Rebekah was strangely affected by the message, because I'm going to tell you right now, she heard everything that the servant had said unto her parents. She was there. She heard what the purpose of the master's visit, or the master's servant's visit was. What was the purpose of the servant of Abraham to come to Mesopotamia? To find a bride for his master's son, Isaac. What's the purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth today? To find the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring him in. And we find what happened. God the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of those that hear these things. You sinners here this morning, God not only doesn't want you to go to hell, He doesn't want you to go to hell, or you wouldn't be here. But our Lord wants something He's... It's an eternal privilege offered to you and to be bestowed upon you. And beloved, He offers you redemption in Christ. He offers you eternal life. He offers you freedom. He offers you safety, security, and satisfaction. You don't have it now. You won't have it until you come to Christ. And until you know Him as your Lord and your Savior, and then you'll have it. But our Lord offers this to you, and when God begins to do that kind of work, He strangely affects your heart. He did it with Rebecca. And if He doesn't affect your heart, then it means very clearly He just may pass you by. And that happens. And we've had people in this church that have heard for years and have never heard. And I'm afraid some of you here are still in this category at this hour. You're hearing, but you're not hearing. And when you don't hear, and when you're not affected by the Spirit of God, by the message, or through the message that's being proclaimed, then put it down, there's something wrong. And it means that God is doing what? He's just going to pass you on by. And yet it'll be your responsibility. Now the fourth thing about Rebecca was this. She was not only strangely affected by the message, she was stirred within her heart. But then the fourth thing about her was this. She was selected to make a positive choice. Now this is the same thing that God does in redemption. Selected by God to make a positive choice. And Rebecca was selected to make a positive choice. She was caused to face her responsibility. Now look at what they asked her. Genesis chapter 24, verse 57. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire her mouth." And they called Rebecca and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Now there was a choice she had made. Now you say, "Preacher, wait a minute. Don't you preach sovereign grace?" I sure do. All right, now how come Rebecca made the right choice? Want me to tell you? God made her willing, didn't He? How come you chose Christ? And don't tell me you didn't. Nobody in this room was coerced by the Spirit of God to come to Christ. You were not coerced. In other words, you were not brought down by the nape of your neck, kicking and screaming and hollering and saying, "I won't do it," and then you did it anyway. You weren't brought that way. I'll tell you what God did do. He did the same thing to you, or else He's doing it. He strangely affected your heart. And you were made to face a responsibility. It was either come to Christ and say yes to Him, or it was no. Did you read what our brother read there? Remember what our brother read this morning? He said, for the first time, he said, "I heard God." And then he said, "I fell on my face and I begged for the Lord to save me." All right, he was strangely affected. Rebecca was strangely affected by the message. When the Spirit of God moves on your heart, He strangely affects your soul. Then you are selected to make an individual choice. Now let it soak in. Rebecca either said yes or no. When the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, I'll tell you right now, you'll either say yes or no. And it will be an eternal no if you say it. You'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt. When God moves upon your soul, you'll know it. That if you say no, you'll never have another privilege and opportunity to be converted. You'll know that. God writes that upon your heart. The same thing was true with Rebecca. We find very clearly she was caused to face her responsibility. And then, notice again, she was compelled to arrive at a decision. They called Rebecca and said unto her and asked her this question, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And they waited for the answer. There was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And are you listening? When God moves upon the heart of an individual, He does the same thing. And if that individual says no, listen to me now, the consequences are once and for all settled.
If Rebekah would have said no, the servant would have said okay. He'd have left and gone and got somebody else. And when an individual says no to the Lord God of heaven, and remember, the Spirit of God doesn't have to strive with you, but He does. And He'll not always do it. And there are people that used to come to this church point blank that have said no to God, and right now I'll tell you that they have no interest whatever in the things of God. You see, the consequences were settled once and for all. And God puts the responsibility upon the individual. Last of all, we see this. It was either salvation or damnation, the result. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? In Genesis chapter 24 and verses 58 through 61, Rebekah became the bride of Isaac. And as soon as she said, I will go, she was from that time on the bride of Isaac. What do you have here? Instantaneous redemption. Now let it soak in. At the same time, when a sinner says yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual, immediately and upon right then and there, they become the bride of the Lord Jesus. Now are you listening? Has this ever taken place in your heart? No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Now, have you been able to go down the line? Has God ever singled you out and selected you to make that choice? Is He bringing you right now to this responsibility? My friend, if He is, I urge you again, you think it over. You listen carefully. Remember who's talking to you. The Lord God of heaven is. Remember what He asks you. Will you or will you not be the bride of the Lord Jesus? That's what it boils down to. And if the answer is no, God will just leave you and go on and get somebody else. And that's what would have happened to Rebekah. Now, whose fault would have been if she'd been left behind? She would have had nobody to blame but herself. If you die and go to hell right here today, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Now, how come, preacher? Because God has brought you in contact with God's man. That happens to be me. And I have set forth before you the purpose of my being here, to invite you to be a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus. All right, but it goes a little deeper than that. Not only has God put me here, but He's put you here. Now, you're never again going to be the same. You can't walk out of this church under this kind of preaching and be the same. You're either going to be a little closer to the Lord or you're going to be further away. Your heart will either be a little softer or it's going to be a little bit harder. And it'll get harder by degrees, little by little, until pretty soon you don't even hear anymore. And then when you don't hear anymore, I'm going to tell you right now, it won't be long before what will happen is this. You'll begin to find fault and then you'll begin to pick at this and one of two things will happen. Either you or I will leave. And that's what takes place. And you see very clearly, but the responsibility will be your own. Now look again. Here you have Rebekah. The servant sought her out. God has sought you out in this room here today. I hope that He is strangely affecting your heart. Oh, I hope that He does with you like He did with Rebekah. He put a desire in her heart to become a part of the bride of Isaac, or to become the bride of Isaac. And I hope that God puts a desire in your heart to become a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He does, He's working in your soul. And if there's a hunger there, I hope there is. If there isn't a hunger, I hope God will give you one. Because Rebekah was made willing under the power of God. And when God sets out and saves a sinner, and you and I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt, He made us willing in the day of His power, didn't He? We were afraid He wouldn't receive us. Aren't you glad He did? Now, last of all, I want to leave this with you. There are some Rebekahs in this room. And I just want to ask you a question. Wilt thou go with the Lord Jesus Christ? Today? Now? How about it? Will you right there, right there, right at this moment? Will you not trust the Lord Jesus? The answer is yours. All the servant did was ask Rebekah, or they said to her, I should say, they called at her mouth, they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she gave three words, I will go. What did the publican say to the Lord Jesus? God be merciful to me, the sinner. He was saved instantaneously. Rebekah, that moment, became the bride of Isaac. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ right there, and it's a heartfelt decision, and I may use that term, it's a commitment, it's a decision, it's a reality to your soul, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you right now, that moment you're part of the bride of our blessed Redeemer. Now don't stumble over the simplicity of Christ. Christ is ready, willing, and able. Now listen to me finally. The total involvement of the individual is incurred. Now where in the world do you find that? Alright, look at verse 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. Now what do you have here? I'll tell you what happened. That very day, that very moment, within the next few moments of time, she said, I will go. And immediately, they left. They left her home. They left her country. They left her kinfolks. They left her riches. She left everything, but she gained everything. It's a total commitment. She didn't say to the servant, well, now, you go ahead and I'll follow after. No, sir, she said, I will go. And she rode upon the camels, and look at what it says. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And when an individual is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same thing. There's a total involvement of the individual that is incurred. Nothing else is acceptable unto God. Oh, may the Lord work in your heart if he hasn't done so. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, thank you for thy goodness to us. And we ask again, our God, reach down and speak to these Rebekahs that are in this room at this hour. Lord, there's more than one. Single out that individual and enable them, as you did Rebekah, to say unto thee, I will go. Lord, I will go with you, no matter where it leads. But I will go with you. And Lord, we know that when you bring them to that place, you save them and you redeem them, and they become a part of your bride. And from then on, Lord, they're in your care. And we bless thy name for it. So bring it to pass, as only thou canst do. And then help us as we go tomorrow on our various journeys. Help us, Lord, to realize that we are on a mission. And that we have opportunities given to us to visit and to share with others the great truths of thyself. All work out thy purpose here in our hearts and lives for thy glory. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.